Okay, we are on Hey, I'm an Aleph, I believe. I'm a Rav Papa. Yeah, boy, was this something to plunge into. This discussion about Choshen L'Zerah Ha'av and the Mitzah and Mitzah set. Three different mitzvahs, barrel of laughs. Basically, we're dealing with three separate mitzvahs here. One is the mitzvah of kisui hadam, covering up the dam of the animal after you do the shechita, and that applies only by a chaya or an oaf, right? By the beasts and by the birds, but not by a behemoth, domesticated animal. Then you have oso v'as bino, not to shuck the animal and its young, the name of the parak, and that refers to a behemoth specifically, shor or set, is what's mentioned in the pasuk. And then you have matnos kehuna, the gifts to the kohen of zroa l'chayayim and keva, these three parts that are given to the kohen, and that also is from a behemoth. And the question is, what if somehow I ended up with an animal that's born from two animals of different species? And not just different species, but different kingdoms. One is born from a chaya, and one parent is a chaya, and the other parent is a behema. Will I be obligated in these mitzvahs? And it revolves around two different principles. One is the principle of choshishin lezerah ha'av. The question is, we assume, sort of like with Jewish status, that the mother's status is key. Am I concerned at all about the father's status? Does the father have any input such that we would say that even if the mother's type is not of this mitzvah category, is not the right one, is not chaya, is not behemoth to trigger the mitzvah. Nonetheless, if the father is of the right type, then that will be sufficient. That's question number one. Question number two is, if you have an animal that is of mixed heritage, then will I say having even partial heritage from the right kind is sufficient to determine that in fact it will be subject to the mitzvah? So I gave you here a table that helped me just to think this through. These are four different ways in which one would be subject to whatever mitzvah you're talking about. We'll use kisui hadam, the obligation to cover the dam, the blood, as one example. Number one, if both animals are chaya, right? If both the mother and father are chaya, then obviously you have to do the kisui hadam. That sort of goes without saying, but I put it there just for the sake of completeness. Second, if the father is a chaya, and we care about the father's status, and partial identity suffices to trigger the obligation, then also you'll be obligated in kisui hadam, right? Because it's only the father if you also need the partial identity key. In such a case, the father will then the animal will have to have it. Well, you will have to cover the dam of the animal. Then third, the case in which the mother is the chaya and the father is not. So number one, if I don't care about the father's status, then we'll do kisui hadam, because that means that the entire status is the mother's status. It doesn't matter your attitude to partial identity. There is no partial identity. It's all from the mother. Or if I say that partial identity suffices, then it doesn't matter what the father's status is and whether I care about it or not, because even having part of it be from the mother is already sufficient to warrant the obligation. You follow? That took a lot more time to figure out than it did to say. But that's the idea. So we had a machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, which was at the last moment distilled to actually a fairly straightforward thing. Number one, Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan agree that we don't know whether we're concerned for the father's standing. We don't know. It's a suffix. That's number one. Number two, in terms of partial identity, that's where the machlokas is, where Rabbi Eliezer says partial identity is insignificant. The only way that you're going to be obligated in the mitzvah is if it's fully from whatever type it is that requires this mitzvah. Then on the other side, the Rabbanan say, no, partial identity is significant. Even if part of it is from that category, you're still going to be chayiv. So that leads us to Rav Papa's summation of what happens in these three cases. Amar Rav Papa, third line on Payamat Aleph. Hilkach, therefore, as a result of that understanding of the machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, le'inyan kisui hadam umatanos, the statements that we made regarding kisui hadam, we said, don't shecht on Yom Tov, because I don't know whether you do the covering or not. So that statement, as well as the statement regarding matnos kehuna, that said that it's a machlokas Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan, with Rabbanan saying give to the Kohanim, and Rabbi Eliezer saying don't give to the Kohanim, lo mishkachas ela betzvi haba al hataisha, that must be talking about where the father was a deer, meaning of the beasts, of the chayos, and the mother was the one who was the behema, which is the one that triggers which is the one that is not obligated for kisui hadam, but is obligated for matnos kehuna. What do you mean? Because both the Rabbanan and Rabbi Eliezer are not sure about the father, about whether the father counts. And the machlokas between them is regarding whether partial identity suffices or not. So le'inyan oso ve'as bin. I'm sorry. So let me just walk through that now, because that's all he's going to give you as an explanation. So, and I wrote it out on the sheet also. The regarding kisei adam, we said don't shach to the koi on yom tov. Is it, Rabbi Kaufman is saying koi, not kvi, I assume.
Koi.
Yeah, I've heard people say kvi. It just sounds wrong.
I grew up with kvi.
Really? I didn't think anybody grew up. All right, good. I thought it was a new thing. Alright, I didn't know I was newfangled, I'm sorry. So we said that you don't shech the Kohen Yom Tov because we're in doubt about Kisui Hadam. So that has to be, the case that you're talking about has to be, in the case in which the father is at Tzvi, and the mother is the Set. Remember, that means the father is the one who's obligated. The mother is the one who's not. And that's line number two. Right? Father, yes, mother, no. Or mother, no, father, yes, either way. So that according to the view of the Rabbanan will say, well, the rule is going to be, the only way that I'm going to be obligated in the mitzvah is, number one, if we care about the father's status, and partial identity suffices. So the view of the Rabbanan is, partial identity does suffice. I don't know whether we care about the father or not. Therefore, I don't know whether you're obligated in Kisei Adam or not, and therefore don't shecht on Yom Tov. Whereas the view of Rabbi Eliezer is, partial identity doesn't suffice. Therefore, Kisei Adam is not required. Right? Therefore, you can shecht on Yom Tov. Shecht, don't do Kisei Adam, and finished. That's easy. The second case, the second case is Matnos Kehuna, and it's the same heritage, but now the obligations are reversed. Because it's the Chaya Behema have now flipped. It's because you're dealing with Matnos Kehuna, it's the Behema that's obligated, not the Chaya. So because it's the Behema that's obligated, you're in the lines 3A, 3B, where the mother is obligated, the father is not. So in such a case, the mother is obligated, the father is not. You're telling me that we're not sure whether we care about the father's standing. Right, we're not sure whether we care about the father's standing, but if partial identity suffices, that's good enough. So the Chachamim are going to say you're chayav to give because we believe partial identity suffices. Rabbi Eliezer is going to say I don't believe partial identity suffices, and I don't know whether we care about the father. Right, and therefore I'm going to say don't give because the I'm sorry, about the barrel of a right. Exactly. The Kohen is going to have to prove that he has a right to it. Good. Len you know so best, but I know I'm taking a lot of time on this opening part, but the rest of the daf flies. One way or another. Len you know so best, Beno, as far as the Osev as Beno case, so Mishkachas la bein betaya shabar la tzviya, u bein betzviya bar la taisha. So that one could apply regardless of whether it's the father or the mother who's obligated. Osev as Beno is specifically about behema, so whether it is the father who is the behema or the mother who is the behema, either way this works. Betayish habala tzviya. If the father is the behema, the mother is a chaya, so then that will work. Uli isura. And the debate is about the debate between Rabbi Eliezer and the Rabbanan is whether there's any isser or not. Where the Rabbanan will say there might be an isser, okay, because you're in row number two. Right? Where the father is the one who's obligated. The only way you're obligated is if you care about the father and partial identity suffices. So the Rabbanan will say, we believe partial identity suffices. I don't know whether we care about the father or not. Hence, it's a suffix iser. No one is getting punished in Beis Din. No one's getting malchus because I don't know whether it's us or not. Oh, so correct. Right. Well, you're right. Hang on one line. But true. So he says, the Rabbanan Savri Dilma Choshen Lezera Ha'av. The Rabbanan say, maybe we're concerned about the father. And Seva Filimitza Samrinan. And I am concerned about partial identity. But also, therefore, you can't do Oso V'ez B'no. You can't shecht the young and the parent because of a concern that maybe you're violating the Yisr. Rabbi Eliezer Savar Nihinami the Choshen Lezera Ha'av. Rabbi Eliezer says, even if I accept that we care about the father, I'm in doubt. But let's say we do. Nonetheless, Seva Filimitza Sel. I don't believe that partial identity suffices, therefore, you're not going to be chayiv. That's Rabbi Eliezer's position. Bitzviya Bala Taisha, or you could say it's talking about where the mother is the one who is the behema, and no offense, and the and therefore she's the one who triggers the obligation. The father does not. Ula Malkos, and the debate is whether there's Malkos or not. How so? Rabbanan Savri Nihi Nami Dechoshin Lezera Av. The Rabbanan will say, granted, we are concerned about the father's identity, and the father here would exempt you. Sev Afilu Mitzah Samrina. Nonetheless, you still have the mother, and the mother's identity matters because it's partial identity. That's good enough. Umakinonle. Therefore, it's Aser, and a person who does Aser as Beno is getting Malkos. Rabbi Eliezer Savar Isura Ika Malkos Leka. And Rabbi Eliezer says no. He says, yes, there is an Isser involved. He says, that I agree, because you have the you have a Suffolk Isser, you have a Suffolk Isser, right. Good. I don't even need to say anything. Isuriika Malkos Leka. Malkos is not a possibility, but the answer is because Isuriika Dilmain Choshin Lazera Av Vahai Sem Al Yehu. Because he says, look, maybe I'm not concerned at all for the father, in which case the only identity remaining is the mother, and the mother triggers the obligation because she is a behema. Malkos Leka, but there is no Malkos. Why? Because Dilma Choshin Lazera Av. Because maybe we are concerned for the father's identity. In which case the mother's identity is only partial, it's only part of the whole, and that's not enough to trigger liability. So therefore, Rabbi Eliezer says, I am not sure whether there is an Isser here or not. The Rabbanon say, yes, there is, and you're going to get Malkos for it.
Why is there no Malkos? Because it's Hatrad Safek?
No, because I don't even know. I don't know whether to give Malkos or not. Maybe he didn't violate an Isser.
But there can't be an Isser without a Chiyuv unless you can't warn the person.
No, that's true. But I mean, I don't even know. If you were to ask me in Beis Din, does one get Malkos for such a case? Or is the case even also for get Malkos? I would say, I don't know. Right? Because I don't know the principle involved. It's not even Asar HaSafek. Asar HaSafek suggests I didn't know before he did it, but now I know what he did was Asar. I don't actually even know what he did with us, sir.
What Isser am I charging you with? Because I can't really charge you with an Isser because I can't be absolutely sure there isn't.
Right.
Rashi says, Malkos Leka, the Shevi Koshu.
Right. Right. Rashi brings it because of the view of the Rabbanon.
That's how Rashi defines it.
That it's about us not knowing, it's even though I never know.
Knowing what the Isser is. Like not being able to charge it because we don't know what the charge is.
Right. No, that's so, but it's odd because the alternative here is not us or under some other charge. The alternative is mutter. Yeah.
It's raised, and Rashi, I think, says that it's a mayor of it should be their own. Right? So it should be a concrete concept that's introduced to a similar, not exact situation.
Not better. Come back tomorrow.
This is on the first sheet of Israel, not on this case.
That's why it's not a machlokas regarding, right, no, because here it is regarding Malkos. The machlokas of Elazar, but it is about Malkos later. It's only on the earlier one that it's so. I have to go back and take a look at that Rashi again. I didn't notice that, and that to me is odd. So that means I'm missing something there. Okay. Right, no, he has to be. That's because here it is the Malkos. Rav Yehuda, brand new point, obviously still discussing the koi, but the question is, what exactly is a koi anyway? So, Rav Yehuda, koi bria bifnei atzmahi. He says, it is a unique creature, Rav Yehuda says, unlike what we said before, rejecting this whole business about Tayish and Tzviya and all that, no, it is a brand new creature. And the Chachamim did not establish whether it is, in fact, Chaya or Behema. Tosfos here seems to think that it really is one or the other. We just don't know which. He says it's talking about where you can't check the horns, if you remember the discussion from Daphne and Tess about looking at the horns. So he says it could be that they weren't able to tell. They look at the horns and they weren't able to tell whether it was Chaya or Behema. Because Tosus believes it really is one or the other. It's like Tumtum when you're dealing with gender. It is one or the other. We just don't know which one it is. The Ramban and Yevamos disagrees. Ramban Yevamos Pekimel says this is actually a unique creature. It's a third kingdom and it's unclear whether the Torah considers it to be a Chaya or a Behema. We don't know which one it's attached to. Okay. So he said, that's Rav Yehuda. Rav Nachman Amar Koi Ze El Habar. He says, no, this is what we call a wild ram. That's what a koi is. Kitanoi. And in fact, this is a machlokes tanoi. Koi Ze El Habar. Tanakama says the koi is a wild ram. V'yesh Omrim Ze Abam and Atayishim and Atzviya. Like we've been saying, that in fact it's the hybrid of the on the deer and the sheep. Rabbi Yossi Omer quite brief b'fnei atzmi v'lo echriyu b'chachamim in chayim in behema. Rabbi Yossi says, as we had in Rabbi Yehuda, that it's actually a unique creature. Rabbi Shim b'gamliel Omer min behema hi. Rabbi Shim b'gamliel says it is a type of behema, and not only that, v'shal beis dushoi or rashoi hayu megalim en adarim adarim. They used to grow flocks to them, these people. What do you mean? You tell me you don't know what this thing is. They you know, it's like in Sanhedrin in the 8th parak there. What do you mean there was no such thing as a ben sorah mora? I was there and I stood at the kever, right? So he says, I don't know why you have such confusion about the koi. They used to raise whole herds of them. The Tosfos notes, the view that says that it's El Habar says that it's a chaya, not a behema. Because otherwise, Rav Shem Gamliel is adding nothing by saying, oh yeah, it's a behema. He would be agreeing with the Tanakham, and there's no purpose other than his testimony. Okay. Amar Bizer, we now jump from the koi to another creature, and this creature is Ize Debala. It is a sort of a goat that grows out in the forests. And even though the name is goat, we call it Aze, we're not going to be sure that it's actually a behema the way an Aze is. So, Amar Abizera, Amar Abisafra, Amar Abhamnuna, Hani Ize Debala, these goats that grow out in the forests, Ksheros Legabe Kilegabe Mizbeach, they can be brought as a carbon, meaning they are behema. Savar Laki Hada Amar Rabbi Yitzchak, he agreed with the view of Rabbi Yitzchak, who said, Eser Behemos Mana HaKasav Visula. When the Torah lists the kosher animals, it does not distinguish Chaya and Behema. It simply lists, we know this list in Shmini, we know the list in Re'eh, and Rashi explains that he gives you the full list of the ten, in case you're too lazy to look in a Chumash. And he says, these we know must be behema. Vahani midaloka chashivlu bahade chayos shmamina de ez ninu. Since Ize Debala don't fit into any of the chaya categories that are in that list, and there are no other kosher animals out there, and we know they are kosher animals. That's a key. It must be in behema. It's not a chaya. Must be a behema. Maskev la Rav Acha bar Yaakov. To Rav Acha bar Yaakov gives the first of two challenges. Number one, he says, Ve'ema ayil utzvi prat, kol behema klal, prat u klal, nase kli klal, mosif ala prat. Why did I say, when you look at the psukim, it says, ayal utzvi v'achmur v'akovi dishonus elva zame, right? So say that ayal and tzvi are enumerations, those are individual examples, but then the Torah says to me, kol behema, Mafresis parsa, shosah, shesah, the one, all the animals that have the proper characteristics are kosher animals. That's my klal, it's my expansion. And I should say, when you give individual cases and then you give an expansion to a rule, you mean to include more than just the individual cases. And that means there's another case out there called Ize Debala, and that's not a behemoth, that's actually a chaya.
Are these wild?
Yes. Feral goats.
So ownership doesn't really matter.
Ownership is irrelevant, correct.
Correct.
We determine chayim behema by physiological characteristics, not by actual domesticity. That's correct.
So they're pre-domesticated goats.
Pre-domesticated. Mm-hmm. Like pre-used cars. So they say this is it's the opposite pre, but yes. So he says, not necessarily. Why? You can't do the prat klal thing here. Because, ikatuva, there are way too many prate here. You have many more individual cases. If that was all you meant to do, you should have brought one example, two examples, and then given your klal, and that means to expand to other cases. This is sort of like shnik suvin abba and kiyachad. Once the Torah goes out of its way to give you all these enumerations, you're not going to tell me the klal now adds more cases, because then what were your enumerations for? Why'd you bother? Im kain, kolani prati lamali. If the Torah meant to do that, you wouldn't have given me all of these individual cases. So one challenge is shot down. We now have our second of two challenges. Maskif la Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ika. First we had Rav Acha bar Yaakov, now we have Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ika. Rav Acha b'reid Rav Ika challenges and says, v'dilma mina de'ako ninhu. How do you know? It's not one of the other species that I mentioned here. The Ako, right? All those species in the list that Art School just puts in italics. That's how I translate the word Ako. A-K-K-O. So the, or maybe just one K. Maybe it's an Ako. Amar le Rav Acha braid the Rav, braid the Rav, Rav Ashi, va'amri le Rav Acha braid the Rav Avi le Rav Ashi. Someone said to Rav Ashi, Dilma mina de ta'o, o mina de zamerhu. For that matter, maybe it's a ta'o, maybe it's a zamer. We're going to find out in a minute what ta'o is. But maybe it's one of those. Sorry? Okay, maybe it's an ibex. I think also one of these is giraffe.
Which one?
The zemer is the giraffe. So Amar le Rav Chanan l'Ravashi. So Chanan says to Ravashi, Amemar shari tarbayu. Amemar permitted you to eat the fat. So as Rashi says here, model this for you. We're doing the Rashi. Shari tarbayu la achile permitted you to eat the chaylev. The sefer le chayos ninu. He said, in fact, it is a chaya, not a behema. It's a chaya.
What about
the okay. So bo mine abba breder of manyimon barchia meirav huna barchia. Hani ize debala maul agabe mizbeach. Can you use these for a carbon, which is what brought us into this in the first place? Amalei adkan lo pligi Rav Yosi v'rabbanan ela b'shor habar. He says there is a debate between Rav Yosi and the Rabbanan regarding shor habar, which is sort of an analogous case because it's another one that has a name that suggests behema, but it's a wild species. So he says they did have a debate regarding shor habar. Disnan, as the Mishnah says, Shor HaBar min behemahu. The Shor HaBar is of the behema variety according to the Tanakhama, that's the Rabbanan. And Rabbi Yossi Omer min Chaya. Rabbi Yossi says, no, it's a Chaya. What's the deal? What's this debate about? The Rabbanan Savri, midi mitargamin on Turbala, mina de behemahu, on the pasuk that lists the Ta'o, the uncle is there, brings us the Aramaic of Turbala. Tor is shore. Bla is of the forest, is wild. It's a wild ox. So he says, from the fact that we call it a tor, it must be a behema. Rabbi Yossi Saber, midikachashav lebahadichayos, mina dechayahu. He's Rabbi Yossi says, yeah, but it's at the chaya end of the sentence. Ako dishon to ozamer, these are chayos. So therefore it's a chaya. Avalhani, but that's a debate only regarding the ta'o torbala. But the Shor HaBar. However, going back to the Eze Debala, Divrakol Mina de Eiz Ninu, everybody agrees it is an Eiz, it is a type of a goat, and therefore it's going to be eligible for the Mizbeach. It is a behema. That's the idea. The Rashi says on this that we don't actually know. Rashi says that's the key here is that we're actually unfamiliar when we say maybe it's a ta'o or maybe it's a zamer. The problem is that we don't know what ta'o and zamer are. That's Rashi's statement. He says ta'o and zamer we're just not familiar with, and so we think okay maybe it could be the ta'o, maybe it could be the zamer. The Maharsha explains that if we knew what the ta'o and zamer were, if we knew what ta'o and zamer were, and we knew Ayin Shom and the Maharsha, he explains why Rashi says that he doesn't, that we don't know what they are. I don't remember now exactly what I saw in the Maharsha yesterday. I don't want to misstate it. Okay. So the last point here. Maskefla Ravacha Breder of Ika. Ravacha Breder of Ika says, V'dilma mina da Ako ninu. Maybe in fact it is an Ako. Maybe it is a Chaya. The same question we asked before. Amalei Ravina Ravashi V'dilma mina da Ta'o mina da Zamer ninu. Maybe it's Ta'o or Zamer. So Amalei Rav Nachman or Rav Chanan the Ravashi Amemar Shari Tarbayu. Again, we have that quote. Amemar believed that you were able to eat the fat. Hence it is a Chaya. Good. Okay. Ketzad, brand new discussion. We're done with all the weird animals. The issue now is weird shechita. The Rabbi Shimon's view is that if you do a shechita that's not suitable to render the animal permitted for eating, it's not called shechita. Shechita in Sheinu Re'uya is not shechita. That's not entirely true. I put in your sheet in footnote number 3 that even according to Rabbi Shimon, it is shechita as far as issues like tumah. The animal is not going to be called a nevela. But as far as we are concerned, for various laws that we're about to encounter, like Osav Es Beno, it's not called Shechita if it doesn't make the animal eligible for consumption. So Amar Rav Hoshaya, Kula Masnisin Deloka Rabbi Shimon. Rav Hoshaya says, you know, our Mishnah is against Rabbi Shimon with the cases that were brought in the Mishnah. Remember, we have three cases. One is both animals that you shech, the parent and child were both kashim outside the Beis HaMikdash. Second, they're both chulin inside the Beis HaMikdash. Or third, they're both kashim shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash. And the rulings given in the Mishnah do not match Rabbi Shimon. And we walk through it now one by one. Mina mimai, how do you know that? Midikatani, first case. We learned kachim bechutz. You shecht both animals as kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. Harishon chayev kares. Ushneim psulim. Ushneim sofkin es harboim. So he says the rule is the first one is going to have kares attached. I gave you a table there, right? Kares because it's kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. Both of them are pasul because they're kachim shechted outside the Beis HaMikdash. And both of them get malkos. First one for Shchita Chutz, second one for Osav Es Beno. So he says that's only the Rabbanan. Michti Shaminan Leila Rabbi Shimon Dar Mashchita Shenu Yilosh Mashchita. Rabbi Shimon's view is that inappropriate Shchita is not Shchita. So Kama Mikto Katle, that means that the first one didn't undergo Shchita, it just got killed. it wasn't halachic shchita, this first one. It's kachim outside the Beis HaMikdash. Therefore, sheni miskabel bifnimhu. Therefore, the second one that you shecht, is now kachim that could have been brought inside, and therefore it's under shlutei chutz, and therefore karis nami lechayev. There should be karis for it. Tosus discusses getting malkos and karis at the same time for these things. That's its own discussion. But the point is, as I wrote in the sheet under Rabbi Shimon, there should be karis for chutz for the second one, and the first one should have karis and malkos as shlutei chutz, even though it's not shachut. There is no oso v'yaz b'no, because the first one didn't have shchita, correct. Oso v'yaz b'no will not pertain. It's only lo sish chatu b'yomechad, and it wasn't shchita. That's exactly the right, correct.
That's why the second one is
for the Beis HaMikdash, and therefore, correct. The second case was where they're both chulin inside. So chulin bifnim, yeshech chulin inside the Beis HaMikdash, shneim psulin, we said in the Mishnah, they're both puzzle because they're chulin, they're not supposed to be shechted inside the Beis HaMikdash, and the second one is going to bring malkos. The first one will bring, I wrote it on the sheet, malkos because it's pnim. I'm actually not entirely convinced that that's correct. I think that's a mistake on my chart. It should not have malkos inside, correct. It's only the second one that's getting malkos because of Oso V'yaz B'no. So he says, Mirti Shamin Lil Rabbi Shimon Damer Shchita Shenir Yilosh Mashchita. Rabbi Shimon is going to say, you shechted the first animal as chulin inside the Beis HaMikdash, it didn't render the animal permissible for eating, and therefore it's not Oso V'yaz B'no because the first one didn't undergo halachic shchita. Therefore, Kama Mikdal Kale, the first one you simply killed, Sheni Amai Sovegas Arboim. So there should be no Oso V'yaz B'no for the second one. So again, under Rabbi Shimon, there are no malkos for the first one either. That's number two. He will agree on the psul. The only reason I didn't put the psul on the chart under Rabbi Shimon is because the Gemara didn't spell it out. But it's, ostensibly, it's still possible. The third, kachim bifnim. The harishon kasher va'pasher pater v'asheni sovegis harbam u'pasal. We said in the Mishnah, if you shecht kachim inside the Beis HaMikdash, so the first one is kasher u'pater. It's not even pater, it's mutter. There's nothing wrong with what you did. The first one was done right. It's only to contrast it with the other ones. V'asheni, the second one, sovegis harbam, is going to get malkos because of oso v'yaz b'no. And, by the way, apostle, it's also apostle because it's also v'yaz b'no. Therefore, you can't bring it as a carbon. That's the view of the Rabbanan. But Rabbi Shimon won't agree. Mirti shamini le Rabbi Shimon v'amar shchita sheinu yelosh mashchita. Rabbi Shimon's view is that ineligible shchita doesn't count. Therefore, shchita's kachim nami shchita sheinu re'uyehi, the shchita that you do on this kachim in the first one is not called real shchita. Newsflash, shechting a carbon is not valid shchita. Why? Dekam or dekolkam, according to the Bach, lo zarik dam, lo mishri basar. Until you do the zrikas adam, until you put the blood on the mizbeach, the carbon is not eligible for eating. This isn't bona fide shchita at the time. Tosus points out, what would happen if you shechted the first one, you didn't do the zrika yet, and then you shechted the second one? Right? The first one is not eligible. So sheni am I serving as our boy mupasel? Why are you getting lashes for the second one? It's not shchita of. In other words, osav yaz b'no will never apply regarding kachim. That's the upshot. Elish mami na delo k'Rabbi Shimon. So it must be that this is not like Rabbi Shimon. So
if he did this because he finished the first korban off and then he shechted.
It didn't. The eligibility to eat didn't come from the shchita. It came from the zrika. The shechita itself did not render the carbon, the animal, permissible. Just wait a couple of lines, because we're going to make that more clear in the Gemara itself. The Gemara says, "Pshita d'hachi isa." What do you mean? This is obvious. Of course this is so. What's your newsflash? I would have known that. So he says, yeah, but shechita's kachim itzterchalei. You needed it to teach me about the last point, the kachim one. Because like Yaakov, this is perplexing. Sakad e'dechamina, I would have said, look, shechita's kachim shechita re'uyehi. The shechita of carbonos is a valid shechita. There's just something else that's holding it up. You need if you were instead to kill it in some other way, right? You did the chira instead of shchita. So you killed it in some other way, and then you put the dam on the mizbeach, the meat would not be permitted. The shchita was a necessary step. Qua shchita, it had to be shchita. When you shech, the animal becomes permitted, the meat becomes permitted. It's because you did shchita. Shchita reuyei. Therefore, kamash malan. That's what he's teaching me. Rabbi Shimon is going to disagree and say, no, we don't call this shchita. That's the novelty. Otherwise, I would have said, as Yaakov says, well, of course, this is a valid shchita. It's just the permission of the meat is delayed. But it is a valid shita. Nonetheless, he's not willing to accept that.
Tyson's on the third wide line, Yaakov. Third wide line.
Yeah, well, he's the one. That's where I got my case.
Yeah.
We shakta the sheni before you did this week on the rishon.
But even the third wide line.
Yeah.
If he was shakta sheni akash in this way gam rishon.
Chashim shita. That's the argument I would have made. Right.
He was asking that.
No, that was his. I said that's not his case.
The new taisus there, the third wide line.
Right.
You don't have the taisus, the whole comma, the comma the lazar.
Yeah, he has it. Yeah, it's the case that I gave. It's the first line of Tosfos, he means. Not the third line. Yeah. Okay. So the Gemara though gets us to a fascinating question here. Right. So he says, "Velilki nami mishum lav de mechusar zman." He says, "Wait a minute. In your case, where they're both kachim." The Yishak the Kachim first, and then Yishak the Kachim second. So, leaving Rabbi Shimon aside, why am I not giving the person Malkos? Because of Mechusar Zman. V'lo kinami mishum lav de Mechusar Zman. It's a carbon that's not yet eligible for use on the Mizbeach. Desai, as the Brisa says, minayin l'chol ha'psulin shebeshor v'shebeseh shu b'lo yeiratzeh. How do I know that all of those types of animals that are disqualified for being brought as a carbon, they are valid species, but they're disqualified for some other reason, that they are under the rule of lo yeiratzeh, will not be acceptable, and that's a lo saseh. Don't shecht it. Tamulomar v'shor v'aseh sarua v'kalut nedevat haseh so l'neder lo yeiratzeh. Right, that's the pasuk. The shor and seh that are of a mum is what it's talking about there. But limid al psulin shebeshor v'shebeseh shuvelo yeratzeh. It teaches me that all disqualified shor and seh are not brought. So therefore, there should be malchus for the fact that it's a carbon being brought on a day that it's not eligible. It's mechusar zman. So the first answer is kikachashiv lave daosav esbeno. You're right, but this isn't malchus here. Right? In Malkos, we bring you all the different Malkos that you could get for a single act. But here, we're talking about Osav Ezbeno. We're not going to mention Mechusar Zman. We mention those Yisurim that are immediately germane. Lave Nuchroi Loka Chashiv. We don't mention these foreign Losases. So the Gemara says, Velo. Is that really true? Vakachim Bechutz. What about Kachim Bechutz? So you mentioned that there. The Shatei carbon outside the Beis HaMikdash. Lave Nuchroi Ninu. Those are foreign prohibitions, but they're mentioned. Diktani, as it says, kachim b'chutz, yishak kachim outside the mikdash, harishon chayav kares, u'shneim sofaginis harboim. So we said there, the first one is getting kares, and both get malkos. So bishlam asheni mishum labda osav ezbeno. The second one's getting malkos because of osav ezbeno. El harishon amai sofig. But why is the first one getting it? Lav mishum labda shchutei chutz. Isn't it because of the prohibition against shakling outside? But that's not osav ezbeno. So if I can mention shchutei chutz, why can't I mention l'chusar zman? Lacking in time. So the answer is, yeah, but. Kol echa deleka lav da osav yasbeno, chashiv lavi nuchroi. Where you also have osav yasbeno, so then they also mentioned, and by the way, it's not the only set of malkos he's getting, he's also getting another set of malkos. Vechol echa deiko, I'm sorry, that's where there is no, the opposite. Where there is no osav yasbeno, so, but there is another set of malkos you can get, they'll mention that other set of malkos. Vechol echa deiko lav da osav yasbeno, but in this case there is osav yasbeno, according to the Rabbanan, when you shot the second one, it's Osav Ezbeno, right? So therefore, Lo Chashiv Lav Enuchroi, we didn't mention the other Lav. That's our first answer to the question. Our first answer to the question of why we didn't mention Mechusar Zman is because it's not germane. However, we now get a second answer. Rabbi Zera Omar, Hanach L'Mechusar Zman, Da'akasav Nitko La'asei. Rabbi Zera says, leave out Mechusar Zman because it actually doesn't get Malkos. Why? But the Pasuk cut it off with an assay, because the Pasuk says, right now we're assuming, well, he says, my time of why? Damar Kram miyom ashmini vahala yeratzeh. Don't bring it on the first 7 days of the animal's life. It's not yet ready to be brought as a carbon. But from the 8th day on, do bring it. So, miyom ha-shmini in, from the 8th day and on, yes. Meikara lo, not earlier. Lav haba mechlal asei, asei. A prohibition that comes from an asei is still an asei. What in the world did the Gemara just do? What in the world did the Gemara just do? Who said anything about lav haba michlal aseh? You said it was lav hanita klal aseh. Those are two different creatures. It's like a koi. The you know, Rashi says that no, this is a lav haba lav hanita klal aseh. It's a prohibition cut off by an aseh. Tosfos says absolutely not. Aside from the problem of the text, which the Biuri Adaf points out, saying lav haba michlal aseh, Tosfos says that's not how lav hanita klal aseh works. Lav hanita klal aseh means you broke the law, and now here's a corrective aseh, right? You left over the animal, the carbon has no sar, now go ahead and burn it. There is no corrective if you shechted this animal on the wrong day. There is nothing you can do at this point. So what do you mean, lav hanita klal aseh? Tosfos says it's not really a lav hanita klal aseh. We're just borrowing the terminology. What we really mean is that it's a prohibition, and it's not in lo yeratzeh with the other prohibitions such that you get malkos, because you have an aseh of bring it from day 8. Which is what he meant with lav haba michlal aseh, a prohibition of don't bring it earlier because I have an aseh of bring it on day 8. That's really what we mean. Since it's a prohibition which is deduced from an aseh, therefore there are no malkos. It's not a clear prohibition, don't do X, it's do Y, and therefore don't do X. That's the idea. With Gemara, though, is not quite done. It's just about done. The Bahami Boyele, you need that pasuk though, of Miyom Hashmini Vahala. You need that of Lo Yeratzeh, I should say. Lecha de Rabbi Aptoriki. Because of Rabbi Aptoriki, the Rabbi Aptoriki Rami, he challenged, this is the Italian Tana. He challenged and said, Ksiv v'hayashivazi v'tachas imao, the Pasuk says it should be with its mother for 7 days, implying halayla chazi, that on the night after that it's already acceptable. Uchsiv, but on the other hand, the Pasuk says, Miyom Hashmini Vahala Yeratzeh. You bring it only from day 8 and onward, indicating Miyom Hashmini Vahala in Laila Lo. The night leading into the 8th day is no good still. Right? Like the discussions about the Mapelas on the night of the 81st, same idea. So he says, Haketzad, what do we do? Laila Likdusha Yom Lahartzah. The night leading into the 8th, you can already dedicate it. The 8th day is when you can bring it as a karban. End of quote. But the point is that Rabbi Aptoriki uses our pasuk. So what's your pasuk for your losa say? So he says, yeah, but ksiv prachrina, I have another pasuk, which in our edition is keta sela shacholet sonecha. In the inside margin, they tell you keta sela shacholet sonecha shivas yamim yiyami mo ubayam hashmini titnoli. So there you get your assay of give it to me on the 8th day, from which the prohibition of don't give it to me earlier is deduced, and it's a lav haba michlal assay, and that's why there are no malkos for it. And that's why it wasn't listed with that in our Mishnah. That's the idea. We'll pick up with that, God willing, tomorrow.